Yesterday's readings were full of the Anoim spirit, as you probably remember, the assurance that those who are blessed are the lowly, the poor in spirit, that the way to find favor with God is to be humble. Yesterday's gospel was the Beatitudes, and the Beatitude that comes to mind reflecting on these readings today is the eighth one, the one about persecution. Blessed are the persecuted, blessed are those who are hated and insulted because of the name of Jesus. Jesus says, when this happens to you, rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. It's a very contradictory thing to say. Rejoice and be glad when you're persecuted. It's so opposite of what we think. Rejoice and be glad. It seems like the worst thing to have people hate us and attack us and persecute and insult us. Well, today's first reading, another section from the letter to the Hebrews, is a kind of an elaboration on that one beatitude, a whole description of many, many people in the Old Testament, both those by name and many others, who experienced persecution and who persevered through persecution, who were victorious in persecution because of their faith. So the purpose of this section of the letter to the Hebrews is to speak about the victory that comes by faith. And the descriptions are very disturbing. Mockery, scourging, chains, imprisonment, stone, sawed in two, put to death at sword's point, needy, afflicted, wandering about in deserts, on mountains, in caves. It's really exile, suffering, pain, death. How can that possibly be good, we say? How can that possibly be a victory? Well, it's a victory because of what comes after. Not because of the experience in itself, but because of what comes after it. What comes after death is resurrection. What comes after suffering is comfort. And those who know that can persevere. It's not hard to find in countries where there's not persecution, or persecution is at least mild, the attitude that religion is fine for people who want to make themselves feel better. You see this in secular countries. The enlightened secularists say, well, if you want to be religious, you can be religious if it makes you feel better. But it doesn't really make any difference. It's just a personal preference. No one thinks that in countries where the faith is persecuted. Because in countries where faith is persecuted, you think of China, you think of Nigeria now, some of the Islamic countries. It doesn't make you feel better to have faith. It puts you more at risk to have faith and to practice your faith. So that idea that it's just a personal kind of consolation, it doesn't make any sense at all. And in light of the scriptures, it doesn't make any sense at all. It's not that, the secularists will say, whether you have faith or not doesn't make any difference because you're going to suffer and die anyway. The rates of those who die of heart attacks or a cancer are the same among those who have faith and those who don't have faith, so therefore it doesn't make any difference. That's the sort of argument that they make. But it is blown out of the water when you look at countries where people are suffering because they have faith. In other words, it's not the same, it's worse. How can we make sense of it? We have to see beyond the surface. Today's gospel presents us with a man who suffers. The first reading talked about chains and exile and wandering about in deserts and on mountains. And here's a man in the Gerasene territory who's been chained many times. He's tormented. He's wandering about on the hillsides, among the tombs. But he's not at all in the same condition of those who have faith. This man is tormented by demons. So to a person who doesn't know what's going on inside, it might look the same. Well, here's a man who's tormented, and people get tormented, and people suffer, and that's the way it is in this life. No, this man's experience is completely different. He's not persevering in faith and enduring with hope for a better future. This man is in torment. He's under the domination of evil spirits, thousands of them. Legion is the name of this gathering of evil spirits. This passage about Jesus casting out the legion of evil spirits should help us understand that it doesn't make any sense at all to say it's fine whether you have faith or whether you don't have faith. Because to have faith is to have access to a power that's greater than evil spirits. And to have no faith, or to have no, to not be under the authority of God, leaves us vulnerable to powers that are way stronger than we are and eventually will destroy us. So it's not neutral territory. We're in a battlefield here. And this man knows it better than anybody. He's been dominated by evil spirits, and he's just tormented, isolated, suffering, irrational, screaming, gashing himself with stones. Now, Jesus deliberately goes to where this man is. This is a pagan territory. The Jews didn't go there. This is a place where pigs live, and pigs were just repulsive, unclean animals to the Jews, remember? You couldn't even touch a pig, much less eat one. And here, there's thousands of 2,000 pigs living right there. This is not Jewish territory. So Jesus went to the outer reaches of the territory. He went to the place where people were outside of the light of God. He deliberately went there, and this man, possessed man, is obliged to prostrate himself before Jesus, even though he doesn't want to. He prostrates himself. He says, "Don't torment me, don't torment me. Leave me alone. Leave us alone." Then a very interesting thing happens. The demons ask not to be driven away from that territory. This is their territory, this pagan land. They don't want to be driven away. They say, "Send us into the swine." Now, kind of hard for us to understand how demons might try to bargain with Jesus when, in fact, demons are notoriously deceptive and disobedient. So it's not as if they're making a deal. But Jesus does grant this request. Jesus says, "Okay, you want to go into the swine? Okay, go ahead." He gives them what they ask for. Very interesting thing. It's certainly not that Jesus simply wants demons to have their way. Jesus has something else in mind, and I think it's this. He wants to expose what happens to someone who's under the control of evil spirits, or under the domination of evil. Evil spirits are, by their very nature, destructive. So when they go into the swine, what happens? The swine go rushing up the bluff and into the sea, And they're drowned. This is what happens to people who are not under the authority of Jesus Christ, those who are under the domination of evil. They are being destroyed and even destroying themselves. It's a suicidal condition to be in. So Jesus uses these evil spirits in spite of themselves. They want to stay in the territory. He says, "Well, if you're going to stay in the territory, I'm going to show this whole land what you're all about. You're about self-destruction." And he allows it to happen, and the people all see, or at least they hear the story, about what happens to the swine. Now, the lesson should be, don't have anything to do with these evil spirits. Put yourself on the side of Jesus, who is the victor over evil. But that's not what happened. Strangely enough, the people of the district come and beg Jesus to go away, which seems to indicate that those evil spirits are now influencing the people of the area. because they wanted to stay there. Now they're not in the swine anymore, but they must have gone somewhere. Seems like they're influencing the townspeople. And those people are saying to Jesus, go away. When the right response would be, stay with us, Lord. Stay with us, Lord. Free us, Lord. Save us, Lord. And they're saying, go away. Now, I started with the Beatitudes from yesterday and this strange reversal that we're more blessed to be persecuted, that we can, when we're persecuted, we can rejoice and be glad, for our reward is great in heaven. We can see in this story, today's gospel, the opposite. That if we're not willing to cling to Jesus, to remain with him even in times of suffering, well then we're excluding ourselves from the blessing, the reward, the joy. And that's what these people are revealing to us. They're revealing to us the bad fruit, the tragic fruit of evil. The one man who gets the lesson is the one who was set free, the possessed man. He wants to go with Jesus. Of course he does. Jesus does not accept that request. He accepts the request of the demons, but he does not accept the request of the freed man. Why? Because this man has a mission to proclaim the good news in that pagan territory. And that man, in his gratitude and in his obedience, does exactly what Jesus says. He goes off and proclaims in the Decapolis what Jesus had done for him, and all were amazed. Was that man persecuted for his proclamation? I'm sure he was. Did he suffer because he was in pagan territory and proclaiming a new message, a new religion? I'm sure he was. Was he defeated by it? No. He knew what it was like to be under the control of evil, and he wasn't going to go back to that. Now he belongs to Jesus Christ, and he's a missionary of the gospel. This is the lesson for us. Don't be intimidated by persecution or by any kind of suffering, because Jesus is more powerful, and Jesus offers a reward to those who remain faithful. That's his call to us.